This is part two to a study that I began last week called What is the Bible All About? Now, that's a pretty big word, all. What is it all about? Well, we'd have to study every word literally, from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, verse 21. We're not going to do that today, especially, but we are going to continue where we left off. Last time we began the study, and I began to answer the question, "What is the Bible all about?" Off the top of my head, and those thoughts read as in answering the question, "What is the Bible all about?" It's about creation and destruction, the first and the last, the Aleph and the Tau, the beginning and the ending, light and darkness, law and chaos, truth and lies, spiritual and physical, binding and loosening, obedience and rebellion, righteousness and evil, angels and demons, loving and hating, blessing and cursing, establishing and demolishing, keeping and relinquishing, separation and reconciling, committing and hesitating, succeeding and failing, unity and division, liberty and slavery, equality and hierarchy, eternity and the present, that which is finished and that which is still in progress. I also mentioned that there's one more dichotomy from these types of examples with which we will conclude this series of discussions that, and this dichotomy seems to me to encapsulate all of the above, and we will get to it at the end of the series. Last week I also mentioned my recollection as I was coming up with all these ideas about positive and negative and black and white and etc. I realized that these kinds of verses were already found in Scripture in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 8. And I attributed this section of Scripture to my memory, which is, I wasn't aware of at the time coming up with these. But I saw that in these verses in Ecclesiastes, that they were the foundation of my thinking. And realizing that they were the actual foundation, I think we should probably explore them in detail before proceeding with my own personal agenda. If we want to know the truth, we need to see what Yahweh has provided for us before we go off into some uncharted territory. Here are the verses in its entirety put to graphics and music. To everything, there is a season, and there's a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck what is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. To everything, there is a season. A time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones. To everything, there is a season. There's a time for every purpose heaven. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to gain and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. Come out of her, my people. To everything, there is a season. And there's a time for every purpose under heaven. A time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silence. Speak. A time for love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Hallelujah. Now, the images we viewed are all stereotypes that we think of in English. But do these words have the same meaning in Hebrew? Well, let's see. In Ecclesiastes 3, 1 through 8, beginning at verse 1, we read that, "To everything there is a season, that is, to the whole complete appointed times." That's what those words mean there. Whoops. "And a time," and that word time there means for eternity. "To every purpose," whose purpose? Well, we'll find out. "To the whole acceptable pleasure under heaven," which means beneath the authority in the sky, i.e., that is, in Yahweh's control. So, understanding the meaning for the Hebrew words, we could mechanically translate this passage as, "To the whole complete appointed times for eternity, to the whole acceptable pleasure under the control of Yahweh." In other words, this acceptable time, this acceptable pleasure is His pleasure, for He's in control of everything. In verse 2, "A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted." The Hebrew meanings for these words are pretty much as we understand them, as translated. In verse 3, "A time to kill," and that means to smite with deadly intent, "and a time to heal," and that word heal there is rapha, to mend by stitching. "A time to break down," the word break down means to burst out, "and a time to build up." Build up is the Hebrew word bana, which is the root word for Ben, a son, meaning to generate. That is basically the purpose of a son. And Yahweh's son generated this entire universe. He created this entire universe. Verse 4, "A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." Again, the translations of the Hebrew words pretty much reflect what we understand in our translation. In verse 5, "A time to cast away stones." Stones here is the Hebrew word abanaim, abanaim. Eben, or which is spelled aleph, bet, nun, means stone. And the word eben is a combination of, well, it's aleph, bet, and bet, nun. Aleph, bet is the word for father. And bet, nun, ben, is the name for son. So when we talk about the stone upon which Jacob slept. We're talking about the Father and the Son. And a time to gather stones. Does that mean gather fathers and sons? Gather them together. A time to embrace our fathers and our sons. And a time to refrain from embracing. Time to let go. Ecclesiastes 3, verse 6, a time to get, which means to strive after, and a time to lose. And the word lose there means to wander away or to perish. A time to keep, which means to guard or protect, and a time to cast away, to let go of. And verse 7, a time to rend. And that word there in Hebrew means to revile or tear. And a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. And the word speak there is the Hebrew word dabar, the root of which is spelled Dalet Beit Resh, Dalet Beit Resh, D-B-R. And it means, Hebraically, the door to the head of the house, the entrance to the house where the head lives. In the King James, it's translated, the word dabar is translated to answer, appoint, bid, command, commune, declare, destroy, give, name, to name something or someone, to promise, pronounce, and I would say that probably means judgment, to rehearse, as in the Moedim, to say, speak, or be a spokesman, to subdue, to talk, teach, tell, think well, as in going down to the water, digging deep, and to work. Here we can see that the door to the head of the house leads to great power, leads to the one with great power. In verse 8, the final verse of this section, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. All of those mean the same thing in Hebrew, except a time of peace, which we sometimes don't recognize that its root word means safe. So when we wish shalom to someone, we are wishing safety to them, that they would be well. And the essence for these verses, as far as I can see, is that Yahweh has a plan. It's a plan that He has perfected. He has perfected. It includes all of our experiences, everything that we've experienced in our life. That is His plan. All of our thoughts, all of our feelings, all of our relationships, all of the times we've laughed, and all the times that we've cried. To the ends of the earth, His presence is made manifest. He is here in our hearts and in our minds. His creation surrounds us. And we have no excuse but to see Him for the blessings He has bestowed upon us. Has He not provided a sense of safety, innocence, order, a surety, and hope to this tiny span of our lives that we've been granted? So it is my hope and my prayer that our eyes may be opened and our hearts be true to the Elohim of Israel and to His Messiah. Hallelujah. Next time, we'll continue on the teaching, and I've associated with these verses, and we'll see if my thoughts and Scripture have anything in common.